Hello, Sobertown. Health is the most important aspect of life. It is the foundation for an extraordinary life. Without it, everything else suffers. Join a community obsessed with harnessing the power of optimal health to conquer addiction and stay in long-term recovery. Welcome to SoberFlex.
My sobriety kind of sucked until I started eating better. And what I mean by that is, yes, I was sober. Yes, I was staying away from alcohol and drugs. But because I wasn't eating right, I still had tons of cravings. I was still very unhappy with my health. I was still unable to make the proper health decisions. And it really isn't until I started eating better that everything kind of fell into place. And my cravings started to subside. My sugar cravings, but also my alcohol and drug cravings, it was all connected, you know? It really is all connected. And this is what we're gonna talk about in today's video is the importance of nutrition for sobriety, okay? Nutrition is the foundation of health for everybody in this world, and especially if you are trying to recover optimally from addiction. Okay, so the way we're going to talk about health in the SoberFlex system is by using a framework that is called the No Merge framework. Okay, so it's very important to know and to merge. This is just one word. That word is an acronym in itself, and today we're going to focus only on the first two letters, really, the K and the N, which stands for knowing nutrition. Okay. So again, the framework is called No Merge, K-N-O-W-M-E-R-G-E. And the first two letters, K and N, stands for No Nutrition, okay? So I won't have time to dive into the entirety of nutrition. That's absolutely impossible, you know, in a 15-minute video. But I'm going to do my best to introduce some concepts, some basic concepts for you guys. And if you want to learn more about it, then I highly recommend that you join the SoberFlex community, where there is an entire course around nutrition, around movement, around mindset, around holistic health, okay? The first thing we want to think about when it comes to food is the food mindset. What is your mindset around food? We live in a society that is obsessed with entertainment and pleasure, okay? So we can either view food two ways. We can view food as pleasure and as entertainment, which is what we have done, or we can view food for what it really is, which is nourishment for our bodies, nourishment for our physical, nourishment for our mental, nourishment for our spiritual. That's what food is, and that's what food should be about, okay? And if we can just switch our mindset this way towards viewing food as nourishment and then understanding which foods can properly nourish our body, then making the right decisions towards food becomes much, much, much easier. So I'll give you an example. This is going to take us to talking about processed foods versus real foods, okay? Processed foods. So think about the foods that have a long list of ingredients, a label with like 15, 20, 30 ingredients on there, and half of those ingredients, we can't even pronounce them. That is processed foods. That is food that is either man-made or food that has been modified so much that it's no longer in its natural form. Now, what is that going to do when you eat that food? It is going to light up your brain in a way that is not natural, right? And we go towards this food for a few different reasons. For convenience, first of all, because it's much more convenient to buy food that is prepackaged and you can just pop in the microwave or just open the pack and eat it rather than, you know, cooking it from scratch. But also for entertainment, because those foods are what you call hyper palatable, meaning they taste so unnatural. They taste so, there is such a super stimulus around the flavor of that food that you wouldn't find in nature that it lights up your brain and it fills it up with dopamine in a way that natural foods from the earth, from Mother Nature, do not. Okay, so in this sense, hyperpalatable foods, foods that are very high in refined sugar, foods that are very high with seed oils, will light up your brain in ways that are very unnatural and will have you wanting more. And those foods are very much like a drug in that sense, because it's gonna trigger cravings, it's going to trigger this slippery slope of wanting more and always wanting more in a way that is not natural. Okay. So switching that mindset towards nourishment versus entertainment is a very, very first important step in starting to work on your nutrition. Okay. Now, once we've done this, once we've switched our mindset, the next thing we want to think about is something that is called fat adaptation. Okay. If you are like I was, and if you are like most people are in the society, especially in the USA, the SAD diet, the standard American diet, is comprised of so much refined sugar, okay? And if you've been following the advice that you are given from when you're young, which is to that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, that you should have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you should have snacks between each of those meals, otherwise you're not going to have energy. All of those snacks and meals are going to be high in sugar. What happens there is you're going to develop basically over time, pre-diabetes and then diabetes, type 2 diabetes, because your body is relying on sugar for energy, okay? Your body is relying on sugar for energy, and that is not natural. So what we want to do is we want to completely eliminate sugar for a period of time to teach our body, or to reteach our body, how to properly use fat for fuel, okay? When we are born, we are in a state of ketosis. When we're born, our body already uses fat for fuel efficiently. And then over time, because we are being fed junk and sugar and apple puree, you know, crap, our bodies loses the ability to use fat for fuel. And then our body starts to store that sugar as fat, and it becomes harder and harder to burn this sugar. So we store more and more fat, and then we rely on the sugar for energy. So if we don't have sugar at every meal, we crash, you know, because what comes up must comes down. And this is a major difference between fat and sugar. Okay. We have two sources of fuel that we can use for our body. We can either use fat or we can use sugar. Sugar is your fast burning fuel source. And fat is your very slow, sustained burning source. Okay. And if we rely on sugar all the time for energy, we're going to need that sugar very often because it is burned very quickly. Versus if we become fat adapted, if we teach our body how to use fat for fuel efficiently, we can go hours, we can go dozens of hours, we can go days without eating even when we get into longer fasting, which we're going to be a subject of another video here, but very much related to nutrition. And that is such a wonderful thing because we're not slaves of our meals. We're not slaves of our foods, okay? And that is a very natural state to be in. So how to approach this is going to be different for everybody. But generally speaking, when I work with clients, you know, what I do is they're going to eliminate sugars for a few weeks to up to a month and a half, completely eliminate sugar, and having a diet of higher fat, moderate proteins. And what that's going to do is going to reteach their body how to properly use fat for fuel. They're going to regain energy. They're going to eliminate brain fog. Their body is going to heal from inflammation, from arthritis, from all sorts of conditions related to chronic sugar consumption. Now, once we have reached a state of fat adaptation, okay, fat adaptation meaning properly using fat for fuel, it is very important, and this is where most people go wrong, it is very important that we reintroduce good carbohydrates strategically, right? So once we've done a ketogenic diet, and I hesitate to call it ketogenic diet because the word keto has been has been completely dirtied, you know, over the years, and big food corporation have jumped on this keto wagon and have labeled their processed food as keto. So the word keto is kind of dirty, but ultimately that is what it is. When we eat a diet high in fat, moderate in protein, it is a ketogenic diet. It will put you in a ketogenic state. Okay. So most people, they will do a ketogenic diet and they will do this for months, years at a time, which that in and of itself is not good either. Okay. So what we want to do is once we become fat adapted, once we learn how to properly use fat for fuel, we want to reteach our, we want to reintroduce the carbohydrates, strategically speaking, in order to not lose the ability to process the good source of carbohydrate as fuel as well. Okay. So we want to have, this is called metabolic flexibility. We want to have the ability to use fat for fuel, and we want to have the ability to use sugar for fuel, right? So, general basic thing here. Again, this is going to be very subjective and very different for everybody, depending on how long you've been following the standard American diet for, depending how much healing there is to do. But generally speaking, you can think of it that way. You'll get on a fat adaptation or ketogenic diet for about a month, very, very strict, keeping your carbohydrate intake lower than 20 grams per day. Okay, you're testing your ketones in the meantime. You want to prick your finger to make sure that you're in ketosis. After this, once you've been in ketosis for a while, for about a month, then we talk about reintroducing the carbs on the weekend, for instance, right? So 5 days you're in ketosis, and then 1 to 2 days out of that week, you're going to have a bit of a higher carbohydrate intake to get out of ketosis purposefully on those days, okay? And why do we do it like that? I'm going to close it up on this concept, which is very important to understand and which relates to not only nutrition, but health as a whole, okay? Nutrition, mindset, movement, sleep. It's this concept of evolutionary consistency. I'm probably going to make a video only on this subject alone because it is very, very important. What that means, evolutionary consistency or ancestral consistency, is living in a way that is consistent to what our ancestors have done in the past, okay? Because this is where the problems happen, is when we live in a way that is completely different. What I mean by that is before, not to get too deep into the history of things, but, you know, the agricultural revolution happened about 10,000 years ago, and we started monoculturing the crops, and we started having the same kind of foods in one area, and then we started introducing refined sugar, which is what's done the most damage around the 1600s. And over time now, we're consuming so much refined sugar on a regular basis at every single meal. Our bodies are not designed for this, okay? In order to know what is evolutionary consistency, there is a very simple exercise that you have to do. And that is close your eyes and picture yourself living as a hunter-gatherer, as your ancestors have done. Let's say, I don't know, 15, 20,000 years ago, okay? Picture your life back then. What would it have been like? I can tell you that more than likely, there was no stores. There was no convenience stores. There was none of that. You had to go hunt your foods, right? You had to go chase the animal, hunt the food, kill it, cook it, and all of that. So your diet was based around high fat, moderate to high proteins from animal sources. And in season, we would have fruits, okay? In season, not all the time, not every single meal. So we did not have sugar every single meals, right? And we did not have food all the time because sometimes foods were scarce, which is why it's so good for us to fast, which is why it's so important to strategically fast, intermittent fasting, longer fast once in a while. So in other words, we want to put our bodies in the similar conditions that they were in the past, because that is what we have the tools. We have the tools to deal with that sort of strategic eating. We do not have the tools to eat a diet that is full of refined sugar and processed cereals and margarine and all those excitotoxins from the fast foods. This is not good. Our bodies do not have the tools to deal with those things, okay? So that is what evolutionary consistency is. If you're ever in doubt about how to eat, ask yourself, did my ancestors have access to this food? If the answer is no, then that food probably is not aligned with what your body needs, and you probably don't need that food. If the answer is yes, then that food probably is good for you and supporting your body's healing and recovering and supporting your brain rewiring after your addiction and all of that good stuff. Okay. So I know that was a lot. I cannot possibly cover the entirety of nutrition in a short video, but hopefully that was a good baseline for you guys. So again, we touch on the first two letters of the NoMerge system, which is K and N, standing for knowing nutrition. The other letters, by the way, are O for obsession, very important to not just dabble in health, but to obsess over our health. W, which is wisdom. M stands for movement, mindset, and mission. E stands for environment, very important that we are aware of our environment. R stands for regulating stress and rest, recovery. G stands for growth and gratitude. And E stands for emerging as our best self. So if we know and if we merge all of those health pillars together, we are ultimately going to emerge as the best, strongest version of ourselves, which is what SuperFlex is all about. And on that note, I'll see you guys in the next video. Boom!